Today's daf in Masechet Shviit in the Yerushalmi, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Nun Dalet. So yesterday, we had the question, Machlokas with Bar Kapora, about the dinim about Chatzir. Are you able to take things that are mamish meant for animal food and use them even as a hand wipe or to moisten things that you need to moisten, your food or whatever? So anything that's used for an Adam, according to Bar Kapora, is a perfectly acceptable use and not a misuse of the Kedusha of Shvius that was originally meant for a behemoth. But what's interesting is that in terms of the same sugya we have in the Braisa that we quoted yesterday that Bar Kapora was part of, going back to the Tanakama and the Stam Braisa, is that it's asur, however, to squeeze, as the grow has at Lischot, it's also to squeeze the grass to make juice. So grass juice would be destroying it. Why? Because since they have Kedusha Shvius, squeezing them is a destructive act, and therefore you can't do it. Now listen, guys, this brings up a very serious question. Because if you can't squeeze grass, which is behemoth food, how can you squeeze oranges, which is a human food? So then that would mean that you're not allowed to have fruit juice during Shvius. This is part of a very big machlokas between the poskim and is nogea all the time. And where its most powerful element is nogea is the big machlokas with the briskers and other people about whether it's possible to take off trumas and maisers from orange juice, or from juices, bichlal. So as you know, those who take the sugya kipshutai, in many places, we understand that juices, like over here, juices are considered to be ze'ah be'alma. They're not the actual fruit. In other words, what brocha would you make on orange juice? Would you make a shahako, or would you make a bari priya eitz? So if you're making a shahako, what happened to the bracha on the fruit? I mean, if I would make a soup out of peas, I would make a hadama. I wouldn't make a shahako. So why, if I make a juice out of oranges, would I make a shahako and not a bari priya eitz? So now this gets us into the question of what do we mean when we say it's zeya? So the zeya ba'alma, the idea of zeya ba'alma is that it may be usr because it comes from something that is usr. That's kol hayotzei min ha'usr, is usr. Therefore, when it comes to, let's say, taking off maaser, if you never took off the maaser from the oranges, and now you squeeze the oranges, then that would mean that the juice that you have is not oranges, but it's usr to eat it, because it is a yotzei min ha'usr. So you'll say, okay, so let me go and take off trumas and maaser from the juice. You can't, because the juice is not really an orange. And therefore, it's forever usher. So that's the reason that the only way that someone who is makbid on that would be able to drink orange juice is if he knows for a fact that he had taken off trumasomyces from the oranges before it turned into juice. The implications for this in terms of Shemitah are also drastic, because if it's la'ochla, then turning the ochel into zeya ba'alma is a destruction. And therefore, the same way that we're saying over here, you can't create this health drink, this grass, squeezed grass, you can't create orange juice. So that's the question. Is this actually the case? So it turns out that it's not at all so pushet to say that when you drink orange juice, you're supposed to make a shahako and not a bori priya eitz. Because it turns out that the poskim are machalik between how, indeed, to make orange juice. There's two completely different ways in which you make orange juice. One is you squeeze, right? That was the old way of making orange juice. You just squeeze it. At the end, after squeezing it, you're left with a hollowed out orange with a lot of pulp and things that are inside of the orange and that goes to waste. So that's also due to Anschwitz. But how about the new processing methods or where you put things under a tremendous amount of pressure and nothing edible is left in the orange or especially the way that now that they actually take the whole fruit and turn it into, including the peels, and turn it into juice. So there, you do have an orange, and there, you're not ruining anything, because there's nothing that is edible that is going to be thrown out. So that, first of all, the Ramah says, is actually meant to be a Bari Priya Eitz and not a shakal. The only reason that we make the shakal is because when you get the juice, is you're not sure that that's what it is that you're drinking. Maybe it's juice that really is only Zeya B'Alma. Right. So, okay, so people don't make the Bari Priya Eitz. But if you knew for a fact that this is what it is, the Ramah's Mashman, you would actually make a Bari Priya Eitz. So if that's the case when it comes to Shviyas, then you would not have a problem with turning oranges into orange juice in Shviyas. Certainly Bizman HaZeh, when these are primary usages and primary processings. And therefore...
Rebbe, what cake... What is he that you would say Bari Priya Eitz on a glass of orange juice?
Yes. But it could also be a cup.
Rebbe Rav Sheftel's Zatzal told us years ago, I think it was according to the Rush, that over 90% of Tropicana's oranges were grown for the purpose of orange juice, and therefore the orange juice is the pre, which is apparently a different element.
It's a different, that's a different issue. Okay, so in any event, most of the poskim are matir, obviously those who are makbid on the idea of Zeya are makbid on Shviyas as well, not to turn fruits into juices. Halacha l'maisa, we're semich on those. Make a very, very strong contemporary poskim as well that are make.
That's why it's shekol is sort of the universal using the bracha itself.
Okay, so that according to this, you can't squeeze out the grass because you'll be ruining it. Well, wait a minute. There's different ways of learning this piece. The easiest way is to learn it like this, that it's akasha. Wait a minute. Don't ochle behema. Don't they have kedusha shviyas? But you said that you're allowed to make out of it a maluk mala adam. You said you could take ochle behema, and you can wreck them by turning them into a medicine, which is like to put on a bandage, right? Those are plasters. So why is that allowed? Why can't you squeeze the grass? Om Reb Yossi, wait a minute. Why is that the same? Shamina shosim em melug memiyonam. Does that mean v'shamina shibut l'sochtam l'asot mem samamonim l'adam? I mean, it's not necessarily the same thing, because if you're using it to put on a bandage, you haven't destroyed the actual foodstuff. You're just using the foodstuff as an antibiotic or an antiseptic. But if you first need to destroy it by crushing it and that turning the chemicals that you get out of it into a medication, where does it say? It doesn't say you can use it for any medical use. It said you can use it to make a malugma. That's not the same. And over here, if you're going to crush it, then you're going to destroy it. And if you destroy it, so then you're going to be over at the Yisr of La'ochla. Coming to understand the Mishnah, we said that the halacha that something that is has Kedusha Shviyas and Yesh L'domei Kedusha Shviyas and has Biur, we gave an example, which was a big Kiddush apparently, which we need to understand why it's a big Kiddush. So we said this would be the leaves of the lufashote. So what exactly is like, what's the Kiddush in this? Because Tamnan Taninan, remember that in the beginning of the sugya, we looked into the interrelationship between the din of Kabbalah's Tuma and its relationship to the definition of what is considered to be a foodstuff l'gabei Shemitah, remember? And we even said that where certain things generally wouldn't be viewed as a Michael Adam to be Mekabel Tuma before Rebbe made his takana that you're allowed to import those foods since they're during Shemitah. So since they were difficult to obtain, it wasn't considered to be a human food. And, during the 6 years, but during the Shemitah, since it's so hard to get, people sort of expand the envelope on what is considered to be edible. That's what we said. Now, in the Mishnah in Uktin, it says that the lulavim of the zradim and of the adal and the leaves, the lulavim are those, the shoots, and the leaves of the Luf HaShoteh, which is what our mission is talking about, it says that Ein Mitami Tumas Erchlin Achiyum Taku. They are not considered to be Roy for Achilas Odom, to be able to be Mekabel Tuma, unless they go through a processing that makes them edible. Yom Taku doesn't mean literally Yom Taku with sugars and so on. Yom Taku means that you took out the parts that make them unbearably bitter and so on. You can do that in different ways. I mean, you could sugar them maybe, and sometimes you can soak them for a long time. You can put vinegar on them. There's different ways. You can cook them. I mean, whatever the Yom Taku is. But Yom Taku should not be understood as meaning literally Yom Taku the way that it's used in modern Hebrew. Okay, so they will not be Mekabel Tumah. Why will they not be Mekabel Tumah? Because they're very bitter. Shame Marim. Wait a minute. Before we get to the halacha of the year, so how do you explain the fact that Turmasin, we had all of those halachas of Turmasin, and Turmas is very bitter, and nonetheless it says that Turmasin, it says it's over Pasha, it's considered to be Eichlin. And even raw Turmasin are Eichlin. If you say that something that is bitter, Turmasin is very bitter. So the Turmasin are those lupines, you know, you see them up in the mountains around the purple. Yeah, I just said that. Yeah, I just said they're lupines. So these Turmasin are different, says the Gemara. Shani Turmasin. Sheikaran Ochel Adam. They are specially planted in order for people to eat them. So of course, that means if they're planted for that purpose, then they're a cultivated food. I mean, obviously, a cultivated food doesn't have to first be processed, be Mekabel Tumah. I mean, otherwise, we would only be Metame, Chitim and Tzorin after we already processed them. And that's ridiculous. We know that we're Metame Erchlin that are defined as Erchli on them. So that's not what we're talking about over here. So therefore, they would be Roy right away without Mitika. Masha'en Kain, the Luf HaShoteh, is not considered to be a food until your mom takes it. So now, let's see the implications. You know, get the dinim of Shemitah that we would now understand based on these two dinim. So then that means that if the Mishnah says over here by Shemitah, what is it saying? Lo tzurcha, de lo shaminan, shen kedush shvias chalahem, achi yom teko. Same way we said before, that the interrelationship of Shemitah and the dinim of Tumah is profound. If something is considered to be Mekabel Tumah, and it's considered to be a something that is shayach to Shmias, but if not, not. So now, understand what that means. It means that our Mishnah that uses an example of foods that have Kedusha Shmias and have Biur, it used in an example something that was inedible until it was processed, until it was mumtak. Whatever you use to process it, you cooked it or you put it in vinegar, whatever it is, right? So that means that the Mishnah of here is saying that something is Kedusha Shvias after it's processed. And indeed, that seems to be true because look in Omer B'Yosef Rebbe Chanina, the Olshin were also listed in the Mishnah, and Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Chanina said that Olshin are Choshuv to be Mekabel Tumah only during Shemitah. But generally speaking, they would not. And we said that that's only true up until the time that Rebbe agreed that you're allowed to import foods from Chutz Laretz. So then they are always considered to be not food unless you specifically include them. Now, in the Mishnah over here, what does it say? It says that Olshin are included, which means that we're referring to Ulshin, just regular wild Ulshin. It doesn't say that this is only true at a time before Rebbe came along. So why, what we're saying over here, so it should only be able to be Kodesh B'Shvias if you had Kavana, the same way that it's true that it's only Mekabel Tumah if you have kavanas. Even though the Mishnah says they have Kedusha Shvias, it doesn't mean they have Kedusha Shvias instantly. It means they have Kedusha Shvias if somebody decides that they want to eat it, which is the moment that it will be Roy Mekabel Tumah, and that's the moment that it's Roy to be Mekabel Kedusha Shvias. So then you see from there that the Mishnah is ready to include things that gain the Kedusha Shvias only when some other condition is fulfilled. in the case of the that we're talking about over here, the Ulshin, it would mean when you decided you want to eat it. In the case of the Alei Lufa Sheita, it would mean that you let them soak in vinegar or something, right? Gavi, you look like you just ate some Lufa Sheita without putting them in vinegar. Welcome back. Okay. So, that means an incredible thing. Consider what that means. Shvius is something that has to do with the growth of the thing in the ground, right? Now, you're telling me that when I pick this, it's not Kodesh B'Kodesh Shvius. Then when some external event happens, how can it get Kodesh Shvius if it wasn't Kodesh when I picked it from the ground? I pick it from the ground, it's not Roy Lachila. Fine. Now I decide I want to eat it. So now it becomes Roy Lachila Gabe Tumah V'Tayra. Or I pick it from the ground, it's not Roy Lachila because it's Alei Lufa Sheita and it's too bitter. So now I go ahead and I'm a mamtik. Now it's like months later. Now all of a sudden it becomes Kodesh B'Kodesh Shvius. Isn't that weird? Isn't Shvius something that has to do directly with the connection of the product to the ground that it grew in? No? So is there such a thing? Matzino Dover Shebetchila Ein Bo Kodesh Shvius. And then, so there's no Kodesh Shvius, it's Chal on it. But Besof, Kodesh Shvius is Chal on it. I mean, How does that happen? It grows and it changes the gears of the way I read it. So how exactly does that happen? Seems very strange. Says the Gemara. Well, the truth is, we absolutely do. Why are you making such a big fuss of it? Ativa, of course. What about the case that we had before? We spoke about Sia, Ezov, Kuranit. So I said, if you were malakit them, Le'etzim. So then the halacha is that if they're meant to be burned and they're not actually meant to be a food, so then in Kedusha Shvius Chola Aleihem. But if Chishav Aleihem Lo'ochlin, if afterwards you decide that you want to eat them, so then Kedusha Shvius is Chola Aleihem. No. So that's exactly what we're talking about over here. The same exact thing. This is in the Mishnah later on. It says it's Beferish. That means that even if at the time that you took it out of the ground, it wasn't Kodesh B'Kodesh Shvius, because it was going to be used for firewood, now that you've decided that you want to actually eat it, it becomes Roy for Kodesh Shvius, and it immediately becomes Kodesh B'Kodesh Shvius. So the same thing should be true about the case in our Mishnah. We're talking about the Alei Lufa Sheita, even though it needs Mitikut, the moment that your mom took it, it becomes Kodesh. Om Rebbe Chanina, no. That's not true, excuse me. How do you compare the two cases? In those cases, it says that you needed to have collected a lechatchila for firewood, right? Sia, the Ezov of the Quranit, but the moment that I would have taken them out of the ground for eating, they would have been roy lechatchila at that point. So I understand, how do you use that case where shekeni blita mitchila la'ochlin? If you had originally not meant to put them into your fireplace, so then they would have been Kodesh Kedusha Shvius right then and there, without any further ado. I don't need to be mamtik them, correct? Okay, so then that means they come directly from the ground into their incipient Kedusha. So the fact that I deflected their Kedusha by first taking them, I'm not going to use it for food. So now that you accept that you will use it for food, that I understand. Because it was Roy to have that Kedusha Shvius at the moment that you took it out of the ground, and you're no longer deflecting the Kedusha Shvius. Fine. I accepted that case. But over here, they can't become Kodesh B'Kedusha Shvius until you do the things that need to be done subsequently. And therefore, it's not a din in the karka. That's my cautious. Do we actually find that this is a yesod in Shemitah? That's something that is not Kodesh directly from the ground. It should still be Kodesh because later on you do something to it and now it suddenly becomes Kodesh B'Kedusha Shvius. That question, I think, is a little bit question. I don't see that you've brought any raya to it. I do understand that your implications, that seems to be what the Mishnah is saying. That's correct. But I haven't seen that anywhere else. So therefore, I think we should still keep it open. Now, what are these things once we mention them? Well, the Sia is Sitra, and the Ezov is Ezova, and the Kuranit is Kuranita. I'm not going to pretend that I know what these things are. I looked up the words, and they mean things, but they don't mean anything to me. So calling something penny royal, we can ask our Baruch Avram if he's got any penny royal out there. In the no penny royal. Okay. And how about savory? Do you have any savory that's available? Because that's how cornita is translated on the internet anyway. So, you have any cornita handy? No cornita. Oh my gosh. Oh.
Is all the leaf, different types of leaf?
Yeah, great. that's what the Rambam often says. That's the type of herb. Okay. All right. So again. Oregano? What? Yeah. Cornita is oregano? Okay. Fine.
Cornet is actually referred to
in modern
Hebrew as
time. It's time. Wow. Okay. All right.
Would a lachal ha'maisa be that which you could purchase today in the store? It brings in the store both the greens and people both pick up the fields like the usual type of stuff.
If it's the same when it's in the store as when it's, could be it's slightly different. Maybe it's more bitter. I don't know. Wish I knew. Okay. And then you said that this is also the Mishnah we mentioned here, but what about the chalbitzin? What is chalbitzin? Well, chalbitzin is a combination of the words chalav and beitzin. So it's a plant that has eggs and milk in it. So what would that be? That would be the beitzei netzach chalav. We talked before about the netzach chalav, that it's a type of plant that has this milky resin in it. Or a milky exudes from it. So it also has these little pods that grow under the ground, and those are called its eggs, so to speak. So it's the chalbitzin. Okay.